Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected honorable listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. The date today is the 12th of Dhul Qa'dah 1445. Other areas of the world, it is the 13th of Dhul Qa'dah 1445, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 21st of May 2024. Let's welcome our Honorable Mulana Musa Lahir Sahib Damat Barakatuhu. Mulana Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuhu.
Wa Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuhu. Mulana, just listening to the Islamic date, are we going to have issues this Eid or what?
Well, we'll have to wait for the call from Cape Town, inshallah. We've got our sources there. But inshallah, things work out as we see it. But there's no real issue, inshallah. I don't know what's Mulana's view on this or comments on this. But we see the moon, we carry on. We don't see it. We one more day of Dhul Qa'dah.
Allah Ta'ala grant afiyat and Allah Ta'ala grant understanding. You know, it's a big masala, but yeah, sir, it's one of the challenges that we have to deal with.
Chi. Mulana Sahib, Cape Town, how's the weather?
A full-blown winter, Mulana. Alhamdulillah. Cold, as you can imagine. And yeah, alhamdulillah, just make dua we get some good rains. You know, winter is normally rainy season for winter. We haven't had any good downpours as yet. So I think everybody's just hoping that Allah blesses us with some good rains this year.
Inshallah. What's on everyone's mind is the crash of yesterday. So before, it's part of death and everything. So your primary EC is gone now. And we don't send no condolences, all of that. We surprise, actually, other countries, so-called Muslim countries, are sending condolences. But, of course, maybe because of their political agenda, this, that, whatever it may be. But from our side, we said absolutely no condolences for those who swear the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. And people say, where's the proof that he swore Sahaba? It's the beliefs of the Kuffar Shia. And he called himself so many times Ayatullah and this and that. And he claimed so many things. In fact, I was seeing yesterday, he was known as the butcher of Tehran. Mulana Sahib, before we get into our specific topic, this where Ibrahim Raisi was flying high in the skies yesterday, and then all of a sudden, one of three helicopters crashes coincidentally, and then it takes so long, 15 hours. And I mean, this is a president's helicopter, so how does it take so long just to find? He's supposed to be heavily, the technology today, it's, we are able to be tracked anywhere at any time. And the president, so long. Mulana Sahib, I'd just like your comments on this, inshallah.
Gee, Mulana. So, you know, you're going to find a lot of conspiracy theories and whether or not this was an accident or whether it was deliberate assassination. But I think more than Raisi, the target was the foreign minister. He's played a very pivotal role in recent months, especially, you know, ever since this whole Gaza war has been taking place. You notice he may have traveled to Turkey, he's traveled to Egypt, he's traveled around the globe, and he's made some comments and what have you. But it's all, you know, it's a big farce from their side. We know the game that the Iranians like to play. I mean, look, at the end of the day, if they were really serious about Gaza, they would have had boots on the ground by now. It's 7 months. It's 7 months. So they can pull wool over other people's eyes, but we definitely see them for who they are. And that is definitely the kuffar of the ummah. You know, one is the kuffar, that's the Zionists that we know of. And then these are the kuffar that always wear the garb of Muslims. And if you look at Western media, you know, they'll always say Muslim, Sunni Muslim and Shia Muslim. They've got this completely wrong. You know, it's definitely trying to water down the Shia belief. But I think in the coming weeks, if not earlier, they will perhaps find some evidence of assassination. I don't know how true it is, but Allahu alam, I don't even really want to comment much. But I heard through the grapevine, and again I'm saying it's unconfirmed reports, that they stormed the Indian embassy in Tehran because they allegedly believed that the Indian embassy somehow was involved with Israelis and what have you. But I think everything will come out once they do the forensic. But, you know, the idea, Maulana, the beauty of it is, let's say, hypothetically speaking, that Raisi and the foreign minister and that governor and that imam or whoever was on that plane, 7-8 people, they were assassinated. What steps would Iran actually take to fight against Israel? Because they've had all, you know, they kept on saying red line, red line. That red line, subhanAllah, it moved from here to Pul Sirat already. You know, it kept on moving further and further and further and further. First they said, no, as soon as the ground invasion takes place, then we're going to fight. As soon as Rafah is going to be invaded, we're going to take place. As soon as this is going to happen, we're going to... So the red line just moved thousands of miles away. And I don't know whether this would be sufficient red line for them or not. But you know what? Cowards are cowards at the end of the day. They'll throw 1-2 bombs and that's about it, you know. At the end of the day, they're one in the same clan. And yeah, we must not, as Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we must not have hopes on Iran or Lebanon or Yemen or any of these Shia countries. We must have hope. In fact, we mustn't even have hope in Hamas. We must have hope entirely on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
100%.
Allah Ta'ala is the sole doer. Allah Ta'ala is the sole controller of all the affairs, and Allah Ta'ala will do as He please.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana Sahab, for that. There's just one other issue I would like to touch on, and I feel this is the right place to do it. There's this, because Mulana Sahab brought up these particular pertinent points. So, yo, the election's coming up in that. So there's a figure, his name is Khalid Sayed. We know of him because he's made heavy derogatory terms and he used it against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He called them, I don't even want to say it, but he used exceptionally derogatory words, and let's just say it, he called them munafiqin. And then he apologized. This was, I think, last year or the year before. He apologized not because of what he said. He apologized because the ANC put pressure upon him and the Muslim Ummah also put pressure upon him. But in terms of his beliefs as a Shia, he continues. He gives talks at the Shia centers, etc. But he plays this very political game in the sense where he's a well-wisher for Palestine. So it gives off a good image. And as Muhasab says, they use this garb just to present something. But inside there's something else. They have this agenda. So he's got this Shia agenda, but he's going around and he's saying, like now he's fighting the DA. And it seems all nice for the Ummah that look what, we've got a Muslim. But he's not a Muslim. And he said clearly, he went to various places to acquire this Shia knowledge, and he's fixed in his in this year. In fact, I heard his statement just a few days ago. He said clearly, I went to study for this and I became now strong in this. I'm the only one of two Shias who studied in a particular institute. He himself admitted this. But this is the Western Cape and his politics continues there. But well, just to warn the Ummah on this, how do we stay safe from this?
Maulana, as time goes on, we are going to find many, many people that are going to, for name, for fame, for whatever motivations we may think about, that will try to make statements, you know, pro-Palestine. You know, I don't even want to speak ill of the current government, but I think there's a lot of electioneering taking place and a lot of politics at play. Whereas the reality is, how much of hurt is actually truly being felt by these people that are making statements pro-Palestine? How much of feeling do they really have for our brothers, our sisters in Palestine? There were statements to say that, you know what, when these South African soldiers that are serving in the Israeli army return to South Africa, they are going to be detained or they are going to be locked up and their citizenship is going to be revoked and all blah, blah, blah. Where's the action? It's all electioneering at the end of the day. I mean, we don't need to look too far. There's no load shedding. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Why? Because elections are taking place next week. Come 30th, 31st, subhanAllah, is going to be qaza on another level. Roads have been, well, I don't know, in Johannesburg, yeah, it's a different story altogether. But I'm sure in Johannesburg also, they must have been fixing up roads and cleaning up and making everything la-di-da so that the votes are there. So we know that we're living in this type of a society. And I read the fatwa yesterday of Darulum Zakaria and obviously emphasizing that, you know what, if you are going to vote, then vote for a political party that allows you that freedom of religion. Mm. You know, the lesser of the two evils. Not to say that the ANC is fully on board. I mean, this whole Belabel now. Mm. Look at that and how fast that was passed also. Mm. So we're in a very sticky situation as far as how much of freedom we are going to be left with in the coming years. You know, piece of the cake is being removed every time. This Belabel is not a small thing. It's a very big thing. Mm. Then you had that Muslim Marriages Act. That was another big thing. So pieces of the cake are being removed from our deen slowly but surely. And the hadith is going to come to fruition where to practice on deen is going to become so difficult. It's like holding a hot coal. Mm. So at the end of the day, we must just hold steadfast onto our deen. Don't be fooled by any electioneer. Any politician, for that matter. And if you are going out to vote, alhamdulillah, I'm Makwere Kwere, so I don't vote. I'm a foreigner. But at the end of the day, those that are going out to vote, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, make two rakats of Salatul Hajat, Ya Allah. Maulana, you'll be surprised. There have been discussions on the Cape Town chat here to say that, okay, we know the DA is against Palestine and what have you, but if, and it's written there, if we bring the ANC, then we're going to see another Joburg and a Durban come into Cape Town, and do we really want that there? So for the sake of comfort and all of that there, so people actually ask the question, are you saying we must vote for DA? And there was no real answer from these people. You know?
And it's, I'm sure it's Muslims, is this correct?
It's Muslims. This is on Muslim 100%. Chat. On Muslim chat. So, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, where's our morals? Where's our values? Where's our spine, for that matter? I mean, everyone's crying, Palestine, Palestine. You can go and paint the whole of book up with colorful Palestinian flags and that, but when it comes down to the hardcore reality, then we're not even prepared to sacrifice a little bit of comfort for the sake of our deen. And it's not about Palestine. This is about our deen, because that is a party that is completely against our deeni beliefs.
Exactly.
So we have to ask ourselves, what do we want?
And another aspect is the DA, they're trying to also capture this moment by portraying this image that the ANC is Belabel and how they would also not be fully on board with it. So they're trying to capture the Muslims from this angle to say that, look what the ANC is forcing upon your children. And do you really want that? So this gives the Muslim now another reason why, but all just politics and...
It's politics, yeah. You know, they try to fool everyone. At the end of the day, my personal opinion is if the DA was in power and this whole Belabel, I think it would have been even worse
exactly
than what it is currently. Not to say that it's not bad enough already. It is. It's terrible. But I think they would have tweaked it so strongly that our hands would have been completely tied. What happens to our Darulum children? Talking about our 13-year-olds, our 14-year-olds that are going and studying and becoming Hafiz al-Quran, becoming ulama. It's really frightening what is happening in this country.
And we look at our children, 3 years, 4 years, being indoctrinated, and the whole purpose of our life, one Mulana put as his status, learn to die. Learn to die. That's what we, our topic is, فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. That when that we will be resurrected from our qabrs, and that point, this in-betweener, this transit which we're going to be in, and that is our topic today, inshallah. Mulana Musa, last week we stopped on this question, and I said I'll ask it this week, inshallah. What happens is, so we have someone who's beloved to us, and we want to do things according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But you get these, we've witnessed it a few times, that they've put this force. So we appreciate the assistance that we get from these burial committees, and we love the assistance and telling us what to do, keeping us informed. But what we don't like is when we there's a particular path we want to follow, and then there's this force that comes in that you must do it this way, and it goes many times against the sunnah. So then how do we manage this situation, because it's quite emotional, there's family members, and you don't want to make things ugly at that time. How do we go through this vibes?
Well, Nana, I think what's most important is whoever's been selected to preside over the burial, they must take full charge of the situation. You know, I mentioned couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago or something, there was a janaza in Johannesburg, and I came down and I attended the janaza. But there was quite a long wait because they wanted to join the two. So it was a lady, an elderly lady, and an elderly man that had passed away. And I think the janazas were like 10 minutes apart or something. But they wanted everyone, basically from both families, who were interconnected as well, to be part of both janazas. So there was a bit of a wait and what have you. But what had happened was, during that time, now it was all chatting away and this and that. And I couldn't stomach it because, I mean, you're standing right in front of a janaza and now you're chatting away. So I think it's for the, and although I wasn't, I was somewhat presiding over that janaza, even though I didn't perform the janaza itself. I got up in the front and I said, look, brothers, come on. Let's not chat away. Let's read Suratul Ikhlas. We all know Suratul Ikhlas. Let's read Durud Sharif. Let's read something and send the Isa alayhi salam. We minutes away before this marhuma and marhum are going to be questioned in the qabr. And here, it's like we don't give two hoots about it. So, alhamdulillah, I think that the foot soldiers, and I'm going to call them foot soldiers, the younger imams and what have you that take part in these janazas. Molana, one thing is coming to mind. Another problem that we're finding is, so let's say I'm presiding over the burial. I go there, I perform the janaza, and next thing I've disappeared. I'm not there for the burial.
Gee.
So this is what actually happened. I've seen this and then I was called and said, hey, we need someone to make dua that side. But the whole procedure of putting the body into the qabr and reciting the duas, you know, this dua, Bismillahi wa ala millati Rasulillah, these things are sunnahs. We must practice on them. They are very easy sunnahs to practice upon. And then throwing the sand, reminding the people, minha khalaqnakum, wa fiha nu'idukum, wa minha nukhrijukum daratan ukhra. So my request to the a'imma at large is that, look, whether you know the person, it's a musalli of yours or whatever it is, be there for the full show, if I can call it that. Be there for the full program right until the sand has been covered up and everything is done and dusted. Be there, because if you are not there, then somebody is going to take charge and, you know, certain things may be done that are completely khilaf sunnah out of ignorance. And we're not even going to blame the people, because at the end of the day, I mean, there's no imam there. There's no alim there to help them. So they're going to do what they think is right. They may even take some flowers and put the flowers on the qabr and what have you. So We have to be there to actually help them through this process, be there for them psychologically, be there for them emotionally, and be there for them spiritually. Mm. That is the important aspect. Otherwise, a lot of things are going to creep into the janazas that are totally foreign to us.
Mm. Important point there, Mulana, for us all, that we need to make our presence there. Otherwise, this is just going to go out of proportion, and that's where we're going to find all of this. I've been hearing a lot of reports lately that a lot of women are going now to the Kabristan, and wailing and all of this is taking place. Mulana, you've spent, alhamdulillah, Mulana has spent time with Mulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayh, now with Mulana Dawood Sidat, tamat barakatuhu. How do we fit all of this in? Where are women allowed to go to the Kabristan?
So, Mulana, coincidentally, alhamdulillah, thus far, every janazah that I've attended, I don't think, you know, sometimes people will, there might be a woman there, and then people will take a photo and say, oh, Mulana attended, but there was a woman there. So, I mean, you don't have eyes behind your back. You're not all seeing, you're not all knowing. So to my knowledge, I've never attended a janazah with females there. However, I recall the once I was driving past West Park Cemetery on a Friday, and my gaze turned towards the Kabristan, and I recited the dua. You know, I was driving. I didn't even go into the Kabristan. I was going past. I recited the dua. But my gaze fell on, there were several women that were there in the Kabristan. So I picked up the phone immediately, and I sent a message to Hazrat Mulana Dawood Sahib, and I told him, Hazrat, this is what I've seen. And he told me, well, this is the common practice in today's time. Mm. And it's becoming more and more common in today's times, where women folk, especially on a Friday morning, are going to the Kabristans and they, whatever, you know, reading, and they bring flowers and, you know, all the kuffar traditions and what have you. So I think it boils down to education at the end of the day. Mm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that any woman who attends a Kabristan will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah, let alone being entered into Jannah. Mm. So, I mean, there's a very grave warning for this year. Mm. There's a very, very grave warning. So we have to, I think it boils down to education. We're not going to, you know, just write the ladies that have gone there off and say that, you know what, they're not Jannatis or whatever. Allah forgive them. I'm saying we give them the benefit of the doubt. It was done out of ignorance. But as imams in masajid, we need to now speak about these things. Alhamdulillah, radio stations need to speak about it. Educate women folk that, listen, this is not your place. Mm. And if we're going to just downplay it, then I don't know if you recall, Bonana, I think it was a couple of years ago. I don't know where it was. Somewhere in Johannesburg South, couple of women stormed the masjid for Tarawih. There's a big hoo-ha and what have you. Yeah, we're going to find these things happening then. Mm. Because women want to be so-called empowered. Mm. Why can't we go to the Kabristan? We're not going to wail. It's not Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say anything that, you know what, it's because you're going to wail and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said women folk are not allowed to go to the Kabristan. It's just like the masala of the trousers or the kurta that goes below the ankles. Mm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma asfala min al-ka'bayn fa huwa fi an-nar," that is in Jahannam. He never said, because you got pride or because of A, B, C, D. The hukam is there. We need to sami'na wa ata'na. Listen and obey. Finish. Mm. You know, we don't have to make our own assumptions. Okay, I'll go in the Kabristan. I'll be very, very composed. Yes, you will find people that go there. I'm talking women folk that are absolutely composed, maybe even more composed than men. Mm. But the prohibition is there. And that's what we need to understand. Finished. Mm. It's a prohibition. Women are not allowed to go. Khalas, they mustn't go. Mm. They should read at home and continue reading. And khalas, that is what our deen teaches us. It is pure, it's prestigious, it's tayyib, and it's for our benefit. Some things we cannot look at logic, because if we're going to continuously ask our logic that does this make logical sense, then amantu bil ghaib. This is what deen is about, bringing iman on the unseen. We don't know the answer of everything. But if the answer has been given, if the hukam, the ruling has been given, khalas, we have to obey it.
And now it is the season of Qurbani, and that's exactly what we learn from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal told Ibrahim alayhi salam, submit. He submitted totally. And we see it in whether it was the command to slaughter Ismail alayhi salam. Total submission, no why but this, why but that, why. Just total submission.
Maulana, I'm off to cut you off.
No.
Absolutely. And this is something I think, let's take it on for next week and we go into the whole Qurbani discussions and what have you. But logically, does it make sense to slaughter your son? No. Who's going to kill their son? But this was the hukam of Allah. And that's why Ibrahim was known as Khalilullah. Mm. He submitted. Allah is telling me to do it. I need to do it. Mm. And yes, it turned out to be a great test. But let's say on the flip side that he had to slaughter his son, which he did. He put the knife to the neck and he submitted. It's Allah's decree. Allah knows best what is right, what is wrong. And we have to just submit. So, you know, we can't use our intellect. We use it to some degree, but sometimes the intelligence also, I think sometimes that becomes our own enemy. Mm. Because logic tells us, this doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense. You know, do it like this, do it like that. And that's where, especially when it comes to these things of women folk attending burials and janazas and, Imagine, Maulana, I don't know, I haven't seen it, but you're reading janaza salah and you've got a jamaat behind you of ladies. or next to you. Mm. I mean, we've come to that time. People will come and read next to you, you know? Mm. I don't know. Allahu alam.
I said this last Eid, many places they had women's facility, but men and women Eidgah together. I recall one place they had family Eidgah, so you come together. So I said, it's totally wrong, 100%, but just picture the scene. After Eid, Salah, what do we do? After the khutbah, everything, dua is made, and then, what do? We go and we greet everyone. So now we can hug your wife, your daughter. But don't be offended now, because it's your wife, your daughter. And we're going to give quite nice hugs as well. But then people say, oh, but my wife, how can you do it to my wife? But you've brought your wife there, and you've allowed all of this. It's the same with the Qabristan afterwards. The men are not consoling. They've got hidden agendas there. And they may just say, you know what, there is females here. They need some consolation. Let's just give them a hug or something. That's where we're going to.
This is all the degeneration of the Ummah. And you know what, Maulana, sadly, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. So Allah protect us and Allah guide us. I mean, you know, to end off on this topic, kafa bil mawti wa'ida. Kafa bil mawti wa'ida. The strongest bayan, the strongest lecture is maut. Mm. It's a reminder. It's staring you in the face. And if at that time we can't be conscious of Allah Ta'ala and we can't be fearing of Allah Ta'ala, then what is, you know, where do we stand? I mean, what is really going to shake us up?
I've just got a beautiful hadith and I've been wanting to share this. I'll just share it now quickly. That when the janaza, when people are carrying it, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, "Fa'in kanat saliha," a pious person, then it will say, "Qaddimuni, qaddimuni," take me forward, looking forward to it. But if it's when kanat ghayra saliha, not pious, qalat ya waylaha, woe be to this janaza that is going forward. Aina tadhhabuna biha, where are you taking it? Yasma'u sawtaha kulla shayin illa al-insan, everything except man hears its voice. If he were to hear it, he would fall unconscious. If we had to hear what the janaza is actually saying or what's it feeling, we would fall unconscious. May Allah Azawajal guide us, put us onto the straight path. Mawlana, make dua for us. We appreciate your time. We always look forward to speaking to you, and many issues dealt with, inshallah. We hope the Ummah also can get guided, myself firstly. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It was Mawlana Musa Alehi, alhamdulillah, pertinent advice. And next week, inshallah, we'll be discussing Qurbani. From us and the team, we say Jazakumullah khairan to you, all listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.